Blog Talk Radio.
And the word was translated in this translation as wishes. But if you listen to the Arabic, and those of us who are studying Arabic, the word that is translated is hibbu, and that has to do with love, affections, love. So you could actually translate it, none of you believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself.
Bismillah. Let me take a moment and show some kindness to the folks that thought blindness was a disease that affected the eyes alone. I promise I won't judge you. I barely know how to love you, and like fools we preach rules, but we don't even follow our own. Everybody needs comfort. Some people find it in this, some people find it in that, and some people just don't find it at all. But this world is full of signs, from the moon to the stars in the sky, from the bees and the bugs, like a seed in your blood, like a fiend or a drug, makes you need to look up and question what's up, why you deal with this stuff. When your spirits are crushed and you trek through the rough, but like thunder it struck, said be and it was, all the signs that were sent, they finally make sense. You feel the torment, so you need to repent. When you're heart is cement, it's hard as a brick, cause your soul is worth more than the dollars and cents. All the money in the world couldn't buy you happiness, cause verily it is in the remembrance of Allah that hearts do find rest. And do not get it confused, I'm not a scholar or a preacher, I'm just a regular dude who makes mistakes too, but we are reflections true, so I can't talk about me without talking about you. And who knew we would end up in a place so confused, where little boys want to be like little girls and little girls just want to be abused, where they terrorize the truth, mentally arrest the youth, even though there is no law but a laws, and mama didn't raise no fool. And who knew that expecting the world to treat you fairly because you think you're a good person would be a little like expecting a bull not to attack you because you're a vegetarian? You can't begin to learn what you think you already know. In man's own ignorance, we forgot that women once watched us grow. And before that, you were a tiny ball of flesh without any bones. And before that, you were just unknown. And now, look, behold, you have the arrogance to assume that you just made it on your own. But what were you but a chewed piece of clot before you grew? And who knew you would trace your ancestries back to a zoo? You must have really come from apes with your monkey point of views. Even the devil believes in God, so what does that make you? And it's true, Sometimes I feel like Noah preaching to a packed empty room. Nobody wanna listen until we start rolling out two by two. I'm a big fan of Abraham, never break up from Jacob. Joseph had the kind of beauty that you couldn't find in makeup. Moses was to Pharaoh what stones are to arrows, and David to Goliath what truth is to silence. Following Solomon, I get down too. Contrary to popular belief, Jesus is my homeboy too. So peace be upon the whole crew. Came to teach what we never knew, even though few caught the groove. They never turned blue, never confused what was true, even if it was a taboo. Never came for fame or praise, but to praise who they prayed to. Who? And who knew that an unlettered man from the middle of the desert would change the whole world from darkness into heaven? You may have every title, every big shot degree, but you still can't explain Alif Lam Mim. Allahu Akbar. And who knew there would be so many views and ways to explain that he's closer to you than your jugular vein? So if you complain that God must be cruel, can you give Allah all that he gives to you? From the breath that you breathe to the trees that you feed, from the eyes that you see to the seed that you eat. If I cut you, you bleed, then you heal magically. We're the illest machines manufactured for means. The concept's extreme, but this world is a dream. It's not what it seems, filled with lies and deceit. The proof is serene, so wake up, smell the deen. Praises be to he, his oneness supreme. Totally unique and no need of sleep. Not like you or me, his greatness complete. No partners, no mates, no fathers, no sons, no discount three and one. Just Allah Azza wa Jal. Even the birds sing his name, the Lord of all the worlds. Glory be to he, and to Allah is our return. Jazakum Allah khair.
To come into a atmosphere of obedience. You see, because we could have been doing a whole lot of things before Ramadan came in, and all of a sudden you stop right away, immediately. No horn blows or nothing. You just stop. Why? Because you become conscious of fasting for God. And the whole object of the fast is to obey God in everything that you do. So you increase your prayers, you increase your reading of the Quran, and you limit your eating. And I want to make this mentioned too, you know, was there, you know, as a warning to the Muslims who are fasting. You also have to fast with your tongue. You see, fast with your tongue. Guard against using the tongue. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that he who does not refrain from speaking falsehood and acting by it, Allah does not require of him to give up eating and drinking. You see? And he said, and the Prophet also said, many of those who gain nothing from their fast except hunger and thirst, and many of those who stand up praying all night but gain nothing except sleeplessness. Why is that?
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
before, but I said, let me just come over here.
Yeah, how many lives would be like me? So, sister, you leaving or not? Yeah. You said you were leaving after Isha so you can go straight home. That's what you said. Huh? No, no. We just want to make sure that we can lock the door. You know, but we're going by what you said. We're not going by nothing that we're saying. We're going by what you're saying, that you had to get out because you were going to wait to Isha, but you had to get your medication and all this other stuff. And so I'm just following up with that. You know where they at?
That's the wrong way, sister. I came in, y'all was all engaged in a conversation. I said like four times, nobody
gotta get another one of these too. Okay, this gets so hot. This gets too hot. There's no reason why this should be getting this hot. This thing gets too hot. This bulb is crazy. Big joint too, man.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. That's no point.
You got to toss that one there. What about that one? Can you hear that one? No, this is a good bulb.
I see that, yeah.
This one will get hot later. whole time.
Okay.
I got those at the house. I got to get some more of those. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تجادلوا أهل الكتاب إلا بالتي هي أحسن إلا الذين ظلموا إلى الذين ظلموا منهم وقولوا آمنا بالذي أنزل إلينا وأنزل إليكم وإلهنا وإلهكم واحد ونحن له مسلمون وكذلك أنزلنا إليك الكتاب والذين آتيناهم الكتاب يؤمنون به ومن هؤلاء من يؤمن به وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا الكافرون وما كنت تتلو من قبله من كتاب ولا تخطه بيمينك إذا لارتاب المبطلون بل هو آيات وبينات وفي صدور الذين أوتوا العلم وما يجهد بآياتنا إلا الظالمون وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه الآيات من ربه قل إنما آيات عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين قال ولم يكن فيهم أنا أنزلنا عليك الكتاب ليتلى عليهم إن في ذلك لرحمة وذكرى لقوم يؤمنون قل كفى بالله بيني وبينكم شهيدا يعلم ما في السماوات والأرض والذين آمنوا بالباطل وكفروا بالله أولئك هم الخاسرون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويستجيرونك من العذاب ولولا أجل مسمى لجاءهم العذاب ويأتيناهما بغتة وهم لا يشعرون الذين صبروا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون وقعيا من بابة لا تأمير رزقها الله يرزقها وإياكم وهو السميع العليم ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض وسخر الشمس والقمر والقمر ليكلن الله فأنى يؤفكون الله يمتص رزقه لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر له إن الله بكل شيء عليم ولئن سألتهم من نزل من السماء الماء فأحيا به الأرض من بعد موتها ليقولن الله قل الحمد لله بل أثرهم لا يعقلون الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر فتحيات لله وسلامة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن دار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون وإذا الراكب وفي الفلك ندعوا والله مخلصين له الدين له دين فلما نجاهم إلى البر إلى هم يشركون ليكفروا بما آتيناهم وليتمتعون فسوف لا يعلمون أولم يروا أنا جعلنا حرما عنا ويتخطف الناس من حولهم أفغير الباطل يؤمنون الغيون نعمة الله يكفرون ومن أظلم من افترى على الله كذبا أو كذب بالحق مثواهم للكافرين والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. غلبت الروم في أدنى عبد وهم من بعد غلابهم سيضربون في دئر سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون بنصر الله ينصر من يشاء وهو العزيز الرحيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وعد الله لا يخلف الله وعده ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. أولم يتفكروا في أنفسهم ما خلق الله السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق وعجل مسمى وإن كثيرا من الناس من لقاء ربهم لكافرون. أولم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم كانوا أشد منهم قوة وآثار.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. I don't know exactly what has happened. We're not hearing anything. I don't want to start six and open mute button. And we'll give it a few more, a couple more minutes, I guess, unless the imam line has dropped. All right, Ramadan Mubarak. We're glad to be here, thankful to be here. We're blessed here for the first of the 10 nights, inshallah, last of this week, Ramadan. Truly, it feels as though a special guest has arrived, has been here with us, and we have hosted prayerfully this guest visitation. And the time is drawing near for the guest to leave and a new guest to arrive, the month of Shawwal, and all that it brings, the Eid al-Fitr. But each month has its presence on the lunar cycle, lunar calendar. So inshallah, we'll see what is and the best will come, all right? All right. Assalamu alaikum or Ramadan Mubarak for right now. Okay, hold on. Let's see, that didn't unmute. That didn't unmute either. So I can't unmute.
Okay, he's in control of that.
Yes. So I'm going to go back and play presentation sometimes until I hear something, and inshallah, it may end already. But Allah is in charge, alhamdulillah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Of what we do not know.
To come into a atmosphere of obedience. You see, because we could have been doing a whole lot of things before Ramadan came in, and all of a sudden you stop right away, immediately. No horn blows or nothing. You just stop. Why? Because you become conscious of fasting for God. And the whole object of the fast is to obey God in everything that you do. So you increase your prayers, you increase your reading of the Quran, and you limit your eating. And I want to make this mention to you know, one here, you know, as a warning to the Muslims who are fasting. You also have to fast with your tongue. You see, fast with your tongue. Guard against using the tongue. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "He who does not refrain from speaking falsehood and acting by it, Allah does not require of him to give up eating and drinking." You see, and he said, and the Prophet also said, many of those who gain nothing from their fast except hunger and thirst, and many are those who stand up praying all night but gain nothing except sleeplessness. Why is that? Because they're not doing the fast properly. One other thing to mention, and you may want to mention this in terms of the health-related thing, a person who's making iftar, you know, who goes and fills his plate up so high, it's like a mountain of food, what he's doing is nullifying his fast, because he's trying to replace what he missed that day. And the object of the fast is to feel hunger. It's to feel hunger. So the and I've seen people, they go and get not one plate, two plates, and a gallon of drink. So there's no room left in the stomach for no spirit or nothing. And, you know, the Prophet said, he said, have one-third food, one-third water, and one-third air, you see, which represents physical, mental, and spiritual in the appetite. But Satan encourages us to be a glutton. So the fast requires us to restrain and restrict ourselves. And so we should eat like a poor person, Imam Muhammad said. We should eat like a poor person, and we should feel the hunger that those millions of people are starving in Somalia right now. Feel that hunger and pain and be praying for them. Imam Muhammad said.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Imam Qasim. There's several things that you said that I'm going to make a note on to come back to, and please remind me. One, you mentioned stress, you know, and I want to come back later this evening and talk about stress and some of the spiritual benefits of Ramadan when it comes to the stillness you mentioned and the abstinence you mentioned, especially with the stillness and the things that happen when we pray this month and we read Quran this month. And we also make dhikr this month. But I want to take us to the Quran, inshallah. There's a verse in chapter 6, verse 119, that I think will lead directly into our discussion this evening on the prescription of Ramadan. And that is where Allah says, why should you not eat of meats on which Allah's name has been pronounced? When he has explained to you in detail what is forbidden to you, except under compulsion of necessity. But many do mislead men by their appetites unchecked by knowledge. Thy Lord knoweth best those who transgress. لا يدلون بأهوائهم بالغير العلم. Meaning that you have desires that you don't have knowledge, but you lack the knowledge on how to manage those desires or manage those appetites. And we live in an environment today that capitalizes on the appetites and commercializes the appetites in order that money can be made. I remember in reading Islam's Climate to Business Success, Imam Muhammad, may Allah give him the highest station in paradise, rest his soul, forgive his sins. He was speaking about the profit motive, and how in over time, the things that people went out and purchased items for changed. He said a long time ago, need or necessity dictated your shopping skills. I mean, not skills, but your shopping or spending habits, that you would need something and you will go out and buy it, and that your purchasing was based on needs. Then he spoke about how people then, in order to get money out of your pockets and into theirs, they began to market to you in such a way that would produce an appetite in you to consume a product that you didn't need. But if I can produce the appetite in you to consume the product, then I can make money from you, and I can have you come out and spend money on me, with me, on the product that I'm providing for you, even though there's no necessity in it for you in your life. So we have many appetites. We have the appetite for food. We have the appetite for drink. We have the appetite for sexual activity. But since we're talking about nutrition, I want to, in this first hour of Ramadan, I want to focus in on that because, as we mentioned earlier, poor diet and lack of physical activity will soon be the leading cause of death in the United States of America. And our appetite for food has lost all its realistic, intelligent behavior when it comes to eating. We eat in a way that does not reflect the best judgment to eat foods that contribute to our betterment, to our health, and to disease prevention. The first thing I want to just talk about is the amount of foods that we eat, you know, and the high calorie content that exists in food today. I don't know if I mentioned it the last time we discussed it, but when you study food in nature, the way food naturally exists in nature, most of your foods are high in nutrients and low in calories. That's how foods exist in nature. They're high in nutrients, they're high in vitamins, they're high in minerals, and they're low in calories. Now, you do have some foods like fats that are naturally high in calories in nature, but they are also high in nutrients. Okay, and the amount of calories that we need to live and exist today.
Yeah, can you do something while you're talking about calories and nutrients? Could you, because the common layperson don't understand what calories are. Can you just emphasize an example of what calories are? We hear it all the time, you know. But what is it?
Thank you. Thank you, Imam Qasim. I'll put it simple like this. Calories are energy. And as people, we need a certain amount of energy to live our life, you know, to walk, to talk, to breathe, to stand up, stand down, sit down, take a bath, go out and pursue your life. I want to put it in the form of money. I want to compare it to money. Every month, you and I have a certain amount of bills, okay? And if we have enough money to pay those bills, we stay steady for the whole month. If we have extra money at the end of the month, we can put that money in the bank. If we don't have enough money at the end of the month, we have to go out to the bank and get money out so we can meet our bills. Now, calories is just the energy that's in food. You and I have a certain amount of energy. You and I need a certain amount of energy every day. You know, whatever we consume that's above the amount of energy we need, that gets put into our bank called fat. Whatever we don't consume if we don't consume as much energy as we need, we have to go to the bank and take some energy out of the bank so that we can have enough energy to live for that day. And then the bank again is fat. So if we eat too much energy, we build fat. If we don't eat enough energy, we take away from fat. Okay?
Listening audience, to help support AM 360 Radio, you know, send your contributions and donations to AM 360 Radio, you know, and those of you who are business people who have and want to advertise, please do a commercial with AM 360 Radio. On time. So, can you continue where you were going?
Yes. So, the food that we have nowadays is full of energy, but does not have a lot of vitamins and minerals, a lot of fiber and other things that's important for the body. Now, when you look at food in nature, you have a very good proportion of energy to vitamins and minerals and other nutrients. But when you look at the food that we purchase in the stores and from fast food restaurants, there's a disproportionate amount of energy for the amount of vitamins and minerals that you get. So that's the first thing that we should learn from Ramadan. What we learn from Ramadan is it does not take a whole lot of food to sustain our life. Because right now in August, you know, this is a very nostalgic Ramadan for me, Imam Qasim, because when I first began Ramadan as a kid, way back when I was 9 years old, 28 years ago, Ramadan was in the summer, you know. So these long 15-hour days is how I began fasting. So when Ramadan went to December and, you know, the sun set at 5 o'clock, you know, the fast was not so physically taxing as it was addressing more the mental aspects of fasting and the spiritual aspects of fasting. But one of the first things we learn is your body can exist and you can be healthy without an excessive amount of food and an excessive amount of energy. You get up and you make suhoor. Imam Muhammad said that, you know, there's a tradition of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that says, take suhoor for in it is blessings, you know. And you may often, you know, encourage people to get up and take the suhoor, you know, as a tradition. But when Imam Muhammad was addressing it, he says suhoor comes from sahara, and sahara means to be attentive, you know, to be attentive, to pay attention. So we begin our fast by eating in the morning before the sun comes up, and we're attentive to what we're eating, and we're attentive preparing for the fasting day to come. What I advise
should that suhoor be a heavy meal or a light meal? Please make that plain.
The suhoor should be a light meal. Again, what we're learning in this month of Ramadan is moderation. So we shouldn't gorge ourselves. This is thinking about spiritually, as a spiritual exercise. We shouldn't eat like gluttons in a month where we're learning how to control our appetites, okay? Mm-hmm. But the meal should be, especially on these long days, these 15-hour days, it should be sufficient enough that you can maintain healthy blood sugar levels throughout the day. And this is where I have to give some medical advice. If you are a diabetic, you're diagnosed diabetic type 1 or type 2, if you fast Ramadan, especially type 2, type 1 is different because, type 1, especially if you're type 1 and you take insulin, you have to be extremely careful when you're fasting, especially in these long days like we have now, where when you finish suhoor at 5:15 and you don't break your fast till 8:15, that's a 15-hour day with no food at all. If you're taking insulin shots and you're not eating, your blood sugar can drop very quickly, and that can lead to death. Now, if you are a type 2 diabetic and you may be on some pill to help you with your diabetes, or you may be on some supplements, some vitamin mineral supplements to help you with your diabetes, or you may take some supplemental insulin shots. You have to be very careful because, again, in that 15-hour day, your blood sugar can drop very low. That's why Allah gives you the mercy of not having to fast when you're ill, you know. So if you have these ailments, you know, take and you're ill, you're not well, take advantage of the allowance that Allah gives you not to fast so that you don't put yourself in a situation where your life may be at risk or your life may be at jeopardy. But if you're a type 2 diabetic and you have pretty good blood sugar control and you know how to manage your fasting, you know how to watch for signs of low blood sugar and you insist on fasting, you have to make sure that you eat some kind of foods that are from naturally occurring grain products, you know, some oatmeal or something like that, naturally occurring, any kind of naturally occurring cereals. You want to make sure you eat some kind of protein in the morning because protein is going to slow down how fast your food is digested. So it can give you a more smooth delivery of energy to the blood throughout the day. And then you want to make sure you drink plenty of water in the morning before you begin your fast, because in 15 hours without water is a serious strain on the body. So you want to make sure that you keep your you keep yourself hydrated well, and again throughout your whole breakfast period, you're going to sip on several ounces of water here, several ounces of water there. You don't want to just get the whole glass and chug it at the end right before you start fasting, because if you do that, you're going to trigger the body's natural mechanism for removing water. Because you gave yourself too much water at one time, and your body can only absorb and use so much water at one instance. If you just chug 3 or 4 glasses of water right before it's time to begin your fasting, then you're going to trigger the body's mechanism to produce urine and get rid of the water. So even in this, there has to be a discipline. There has to be structured and intelligent approach and behavior. So you sip 2 or 3 ounces of water at a time throughout your whole suhoor period, and you take a light meal, a reasonable meal, and you don't overeat, and you don't eat so much that you don't leave one-third of your stomach for food, one-third of your stomach for water, and one-third of your stomach for air. And I want to thank you for when you said that really means spiritual, mental, and physical, Imam Kazem, because physically there is no air in the stomach. You know, if you get air in the stomach, you belch, you know, you belch. So when I read this, I said the prophet couldn't be speaking to physically. And when you look at this hadith, the word that's used for air is nefes, you know, like to breathe, you know. So, and so I love your connection with spiritual, but also on a physical level, you shouldn't eat so much that you can't breathe, you know. You stuff yourself so much that you have a difficult breathing. So you should apply these same principles when you take your morning suhoor. You know, good naturally occurring carbohydrates are things like, as I mentioned, oatmeal, cream of wheat. You can do natural fruits, you know, apple, orange, peach, pear, you know, then do some kind of protein, whatever you choose for protein. That could be meat. It could be eggs free of hormones and free of artificial, free of hormones and antibiotics if you're going the organic way, you know. And, again, have plenty of water to prepare yourself for today. Then, again, when you break fast, and this is the important thing to learn about how we don't need. Now, Sister Nadia, Imam Kazem, interrupt me at any time for a commercial break or to take questions. But at the end of our fast day, you know, it was tradition of the Prophet to take some light date and drink some water. You know, nowadays people have a meal for iftar and then go pray and then come back and go to like an all-you-can-eat buffet. But from what I understand of the Prophet, that wasn't his tradition. He took maybe a date or two and some water. And I can see the again the logic behind that, because after fasting all day, you need some sugar in your blood just in case at the end of the day you're dealing with some low blood sugar. You know, if you don't have diabetes, your body's going to be able to keep you within normal ranges, but you're still going to experience some of that irritability and other things like that that's associated with going without food. But you take a date, which will give you a simple source of naturally occurring sugar to get your blood sugar back up, to get your attention back up, to get your alertness back up so that you can get ready to pray. And then you drink water to rehydrate yourself. Now, if you remember, it was one Ramadan session, and the Imam was talking to all of us. He said, when you break your fast, you shouldn't delay the prayer significantly. He said, because Allah has given you permission to delay your prayer so that you can break your fast. So once you break your fast, you should go ahead and pray to be obedient to Allah and show appreciation for Him allowing you to delay your prayer time so that you can break your fast. So then after you break your fast, I'm sorry?
No, I want to make a comment for the radio listening audience on your description of the body's reaction and its involvement in digesting and its involvement of water and et cetera, et cetera. You know, and this is directly related to the verse that we read earlier, Kutiba alaykum al-siyam, that the fasting is a prescription. The Kutiba is a prescription in the body. You know, the body itself has education. The body itself has intelligence. The cell is intelligent. The heart, all your lungs, they have intelligence. And that makes man intelligent because he goes in and studies these things, and he becomes a doctor, a dentist, or whatever it is. They become intelligent by studying the intelligence that Allah wrote in the body. So by it being intelligent, the body reacts to certain things that when it's abused and treated poor, and don't give it, like you said earlier, the difference between calories and nutrition. But when you were speaking about the McDonald's and the fast food and et cetera like that, it reminded me from the Quran and Surah to Ghashiyah, which is the 80th chapter of the Quran, where it says, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ دَرِيَ لَا يُسْمِنُ وَلَا يُعْنِ مِنْ جُرُ. It says, no food will there be for them but a bitter diet, which will neither nourish nor satisfy hunger. And this is not just, you know, this filler food that's in these commercial foods, got a lot of filler food in it, but no nourishment in it, no nutrients to satisfy the intelligence of the body that has been written by God. God wrote the intelligence in the body. So his prescription, as you said earlier, for fasting is not just like for pills and things like that, but it's prevention. You know, I like the analysis that you gave, how the doctor can prescribe some pills for you, et cetera, et cetera. But what medicine is moving toward now and should be moving toward is prevention, preventive medicine, where you prevent from getting sick. So God gives us Ramadan and fasting as also a prevention to help us become conscious of how to take care of the body that we live in now. And that's why it ends in that verse, la'allakum tattaqun, la'allakum tattaqun, that perhaps you can become regardful, perhaps you become learn self-restraint, and perhaps you will be able to become more intelligent by learning how to take care of this important vehicle. It's more important than that Lexus you got or the Mercedes-Benz, you know. You won't put the wrong type of gas, oil, et cetera. In fact, they give you in the menu on what to put in there. And if you don't put it in there, it's going to cause problems. Well, the menu that has been given to us for guiding us on how to keep the physical, mental, and spiritual body together is the Quran. So I want to remind us that tonight we're going to be talking about nutrition and fasting, the Quran, its structure and aim and purpose, and how to work to learn the Quran and become a friend to the Quran. This is so important that Muslims learn how to befriend the Quran as a good friend to give you good advice that supports you in everything that you do of good and warns you about those things that you're doing that are harmful to your life. So this is very, very good, Imam Waziz. This is in the chain because the technical information and knowledge that you're giving us is should be very, very helpful because I know I'm learning a great deal, and I thank you again for your serious study, your serious study of nutrition and Quran and et cetera. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to make them come in with another commercial. We need to do a commercial here, and then we'll get back to our topic. Also, I want to remind our listeners, at 8:15 here, out my time on the East Coast, while it is Central Time, I'm going to be breaking my fast and getting prepared and break my fast and make my prayers. And Imam Wazir, I want you to continue on at that time. And then when I come back, we'll just get back into it. But I am enjoying this. This is really remarkable what we're doing tonight. So go ahead and continue. I'm sorry, Imam.
Alhamdulillah. Now, remember our premise in the beginning, appetites unchecked by knowledge. Then Allah says, but many do mislead men by their appetites unchecked by knowledge. Now, if you remember our discussion earlier, it's not every day that you go 15 hours without eating. We get in such a habit that we think we have to eat, and we have to eat a whole lot all the time. But one of the things that Ramadan teaches us is, yeah, you can go long periods of time without eating. You can control the appetites that you have. Now, there's two things that I want to get to, but I have to preface my remarks by making a statement about conditioning. We are, the human being, when it says, but many do mislead men by their appetites unchecked by knowledge. What this is also indicating is that our appetites will be manipulated. And since the average human being doesn't know what's going on, people will begin to control our appetites without us even realizing it. When we spoke earlier about energy and how these foods are high in energy, the other thing that has happened to us, which is very criminal, is our perception of portion sizes and how much food we need has been extremely distorted. And I call this the byproduct of the supersize me appetites unchecked by knowledge. Now, when I was a child, and since we were talking about fast food, we'll talk about the fast food industry. When I was a child, a small soda was 16 ounces. A small soda was 12 ounces. A medium soda was 16 ounces. And a large soda was 24 ounces. Nowadays, a 32-ounce soda is a medium. And a 48-ounce soda is a large. Now, just to kind of show you what this has done, we mentioned energy earlier. The average person who may be 6'2", 6'3", 130, 140 pounds in their mid-30s to early 40s, they may need 1,200 units of energy a day to live. We call those units calories. Now, in every 4 ounces of soda pop, you have 60 units of energy or calories, but you have no vitamins, no minerals, no protein, no fiber, nothing else that is redeemable. So it's just what we would call an empty calorie. It is food that will not give you any nourishment, and it will not satisfy the body's needs for nutrition, because the purpose that God, Allah, made nutrition for was not so that we could just only get a good feeling and have a wonderful experience because we like the way food tastes. He gave us nutrition to nourish the body, and he made it taste good so that we would eat it, right? But portion distortion is what I call it. So if I drink a 12-ounce cup of soda, I would get 180 calories. Okay, now mind you, I said 1,200 calories that somebody would need. So that's around 15% of the calories that that person will need all day. Now, if I multiply that out and I don't drink a 12-ounce cup of soda, if I drink a 32-ounce cup of soda, instead of getting 180 calories, that number goes up in 32. Excuse me, I'm doing the math in my head. So that's 180 plus 180. That's 360. That so 420 calories. So if I drink 32 ounces, which is now like the small, I get 420 calories. But when I was a kid, if I drink a small, I get 180 calories. So that's almost twice. Actually, that's over twice. That's twice the calories now that the average person now gets in a small than they used to get. But what? Since we're creatures of habit and conditioning, we have now been conditioned in our mind that 32 ounces is small and it's not a lot to drink. And that has happened with everything in our society.
Okay, dear listeners, I thank everyone. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah, and thanking you for being here with us for this evening. As we are just ending tonight, we don't know what took place with Imam Abdulaziz's phone, but we pray you enjoyed the information, and praise be to Almighty God for the message that Imam Kazim Ahmed, radiallahu anhu, and our dear Imam Wazir Ali, who will be one of the presenters in North Carolina, Durham/Raleigh, North Carolina, on this weekend, the 14th and the 15th, for the Ramadan session there in Durham, Raleigh, North Carolina. In Florida, there's a host of other presenters, and also in Durham, there are more presenters. Imam Rashad out of, I think, Atlanta, Imam Muhammad, well, there are several. And also Mosque Cares, there's going to be Ramadan sessions, some 14th through the 16th, others the 14th and the 15th. All right? So praise be to Almighty God. Wherever AM360 is, we're going to strive to air whatever portion we can with the permission of the host, of course, for the Ramadan session. All right. Thank you, and inshallah, be prepared to listen tomorrow morning for the 21st day of the Juice here on AM360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. And have a wonderful and blessed night. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.